We shall continue. This is week number four, class number two, living faith. We left off at Isaiah 55. All right, God's Word always prospers. It always produces. God's Word is His will, and it's a written form of spiritual reality. One of the things that has just messed up so many people up in the body of Christ is trying to understand spiritual things with a human mindset. It doesn't work. There are people that don't understand, you know, how can God be God? How can Jesus be the Son of God and die on the cross? How can, and we go through all these different kinds of things trying to figure God out. Well, you're not going to do that. With your human mind and human reasoning, you're not going to do that. It won't work. And until we are willing to allow God be deity and understand we are not and never will be, and realizing that, come to the conclusion that as deity and eternal, eternally existing, no beginning, no end, deity who is perfect, pure love, perfect, pure holiness, He can do things we can't, and He can do things in a way that we don't understand. Until we begin to reconcile that and sit back and say, okay, I don't understand it, we're going to struggle with a concept like this, faith and confession. God gave us His Word, and it is a written example of a spiritual reality. When He talks about, you know, being born again and so forth. Let's face it, we do not know what that means. I mean, the mechanics of it. We don't understand how that can take place. Because we know that when we pray to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were told we were born again. But, you know, we didn't feel something get ripped out and something put in. It wasn't like that. But we believed it. Well, by the same token, all the rest of these things are spiritual realities. God's written them down for us to try to help us understand this. God's Word is His will. It doesn't fail. It doesn't change. And it will accomplish what He sent it forth to accomplish. When you confess the Word, it will change your circumstances. We went from lost to being born again by confessing the Word of God, did we not? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, salvation. You get born again. Confessing God's Word is releasing His will. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit will only work according to God's will. Now, this may come as a surprise to you, but God does not bless things outside of His Word and His will. I know of a situation, man and a woman, they were committing adultery, and they justified it to their pastor by saying, well, yeah, but when we're done, we sit up in bed and speak in tongues. Oh, so that makes it okay. It is. It's stupid. All right? But they thought doing that made it all right. No, it doesn't make it all right. And if you spend a little more time praying in those tongues, you'd figure out real quickly, this is not right. You'd have an Adam and Eve experience. Your eyes will be opened and you will realize you are naked. Moving right along. When we are confessing the Word of God to change our circumstances, it is not denying the circumstances. And I've heard people say that. You know, you're just confessing this stuff. You're denying reality. How can I be denying reality if I'm confessing the Word of God over the circumstances? If I were going to deny it, I wouldn't even say anything about it. I'd just live with my head in the clouds and act like it doesn't exist. But the very fact I'm speaking God's Word over a circumstance that needs to be changed means I am acknowledging the reality. See, you've got to understand, in heaven, when God looks down at you and He sees a body that has, I don't know, any kind of a sickness or disease, whatever it is, you know, just pick one. God's in heaven, He looks down, and He sees your body, that condition in your body. Now, He knows that condition's in your body. But He also knows what He has said about these things. Now, when we begin to come in agreement, you know, they talk about, you know, the prayer of agreement and all this kind of stuff. Well, when we begin to come into agreement with what He has said, and His words become our words, Then we begin to impact that condition that is in our body. God is not, people say, I just wish God would come down and heal me. Well, if we could hear the voice of God, He might ask us something like, what makes you think I don't want to see your body healed? What's convinced you I'm sitting up in heaven not doing anything on your behalf? Why do you think that? I've given you, now listen closely, I've given you my word. What are you doing with my word? You'll see my will concerning healing in my word. If you don't understand my will concerning healing, it's okay. Go to my word. I've already explained it right there. I put it in written form so your human mind can begin to grasp it. I assure you, as God, I don't need it in written form because I don't forget what I've said. But you do. So just go to my word and find out what I have said about your condition. Then if you begin to come in line with what I have said and you speak what I have spoken to you, and here's another image to catch. Remember earlier we talked about how that God spoke to prophets and then the prophets spoke His word and things came to pass? All right, now here it is. Same thing. Same thing. God, here you have your Bible. Now you read your Bible. In this, God is speaking to you. You take what God has spoken to you, only it's in written form, but He's spoken to you. Now, you take it, and just like those prophets of old, you begin to speak it. What's the difference? There's no difference. But I'm not called to be a prophet. You may not be called to the office of a prophet, but you are called to prophesy, speak forth the word of God. You are called to declare His word. The good news of the gospel? Proclaim it to yourself, what He has said to you. Now, if you look over in Romans chapter 4, in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Well, God doesn't seem to have a problem with this. He calleth those things which be not as though they were. In other words, God, by speaking, remember what we read over there in Isaiah. God knows His word will produce. Let there be light. There is no light. I know that. Let there be light. There was light. Let there be a firmament. There is no firmament. I know that too. Let there be a firmament. There's a firmament. See what I'm saying? Now here we come along and God says, all right, I've already said likeness and image, look like, act like. So, you do the same thing. Oh, that's New Age, God. We don't believe that way. We're a fundamental church. We believe Your word. But what did I say in my word? Yeah, but some of that stuff in there, God, like Peter said, it's hard to understand. Well, just pray in tongues. Did I not say through my son Jesus, He would lead and guide you into... God's got all the answers, folks. You're not going to win an argument with God. So, speaking things... Look at it again. Speaking or calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, example. Let's say that I have like a tumor on my arm. All right. Now I'm going to begin to speak things that aren't as though they were. So I begin to now. I'm not going to speak anything other than God's word. All right? Why? Because Isaiah 55, His word prospers. His word accomplishes. So I begin to speak God's word. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. God did not create bodies to have this kind of thing on them. So in the name of Jesus, I call my arm healed. I call it whole. I call it normal. I'm speaking of things that aren't as though they were. Oh, that sounds crazy, Brother Martin. Yeah, well, when the tumor's gone, we can come and talk about crazy. Yeah, but I know somebody that tried that and it didn't work. God's word never fails. God's word never fails. Listen, I'm still speaking over my own eyes. As I stand here tonight before you, I have contact lenses in my eyes. All right, now I know it's not God's will for me to put plastic on my eyeball just so I can see you and His word. I know that's not God's will. His will is for me to be able to see without the use of a device, whatever it would be. All right, now I speak to my eyes. I call my eyes healed. And I say in the name of Jesus, I see perfectly. I see better than I've ever seen in my life. And I see it that way without corrective lenses. And I speak God's will. I speak God's word over my eyes. Now, I say the manifestation is going to take place. Some people can call me crazy. I don't care. You can call me whatever you want. They call Jesus nuts. And they try to kill Him. Call me crazy. I know what God's word has to say about things like this. And I would rather speak God's word. Now, I will say this. Does that mean I won't go to the eye doctor? I'll go to the eye doctor. I go for regular checkups. You know, whatever they say once a year or whatever the frequency is. I mean, I do these things. Because this body has not yet been glorified. And regardless of what some of the wacko faith people say, this body is in a state of deterioration. Because it's not glorified yet. But that doesn't mean that at my age, I'm going to have to... I've been wearing corrective lenses since fourth grade. That's not God's will. I know that. It's not. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So I speak to my eyes. I speak to other conditions. And I speak to this. And I speak to the circumstances. And I begin to speak things that aren't as though they were. I speak God's word concerning these circumstances. It is... Now listen... It is not God's will for any of you to be struggling financially. It's not God's will for you to sit down and try and figure out how you can pay your bills and give at church at the same time. It's not His will for it to be like that. These things can change. And we're going to get into making the change here in just a little bit. But see, when you get into the Word of God and you see this, God says, I'm going to write this to you. And I want you to know this is my will for you. And then He says, on top of it, my word, it accomplishes things. It doesn't return void. So if you line up with my word and you begin to speak my word, which is my will, then you will begin to see changes take place in your life. All right? Going even further in this. He spoke His will. God only speaks His will. And He spoke His will to men. Men spoke His will into the earth. And if our circumstances do not line up with the will of God, we should be speaking His will into the circumstances. Instead of sitting back... See, here's the thing about it. It's nothing wrong to go forward in a church service or a crusade, whatever, for prayer. That is not wrong. But what is wrong is when you walk away from a prayer line thinking it's absolutely unimportant for you to speak God's will over that thing that you went up for prayer about. And this is one of the reasons, not the only, but one of the reasons why there's some people that keep going back up for prayer for the same thing all the time. Same thing all the time. And they say things like, well, I'm just trusting God. I'm just believing God. You know, would you just pray for me? I'm believing God. Well, I don't have a problem praying for you. I really don't. And I'll be glad to do it. But what are you doing in between times that I pray for you? I mean, next month. What have you done, you know, for the past 30 days? You're back up here praying for the same thing. What have you done the past 30 days? Are you speaking God's will into this situation? Well, I really believe He's going to move. What does God have to say about it? Well, I really trust that things are going to happen. What has God said about it? What are you speaking about this thing? Well, when we talk about confessing the Word, we need to understand what this means. We are to speak what God has said. In Exodus, Moses went to Pharaoh time and time again, and he said, thus saith the Lord. Remember, God said, go to Pharaoh and tell him this. Moses goes to Pharaoh, and whether it was Moses or Aaron doing the speaking, because sometimes it was Aaron, in other places it's very clear, Moses was the one that spoke up. Regardless of whichever one it was, they were standing there and they were saying, thus saith the Lord. And you can see this over and over again. So God spoke to them, and they took what God said to them, and they walked into Pharaoh, and they said, thus saith the Lord. Well, now we have all that written in Scripture. So we have the example of what happened. They however it was they got alone with God, they received a word from God, and they go in by God's instructions, and they said, hey, God sent us here to say this. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Well, you know the rest of the story and what happened there. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, this is one of my favorite passages when it comes to confession. You say, but Brother Martin, it's in the Old Testament. I know, it's still one of my favorite passages. This is powerful. Now look at this. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. Ezekiel speaking here, and he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. In other words, he's walking through this valley. All right, and all these bones are out there. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Dry bones means they've been out there for a long time. Okay? And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now stop right there. If this isn't the goofiest thing I think I've ever read, is it not? Telling somebody to stand out in the middle of a battlefield with a bunch of dead people to the point there's no flesh and their bones are dry and you're supposed to talk to the bones. All right, let me see you do that this coming Thanksgiving when what's left of that turkey is on. Oh, turkey, hear the word of the Lord. Walk into Colonel Sanders one time. Oh, chickens, hear the word. What if you were Ezekiel and God's telling you to talk to a bunch of dead, dry bones? Would you feel silly? Well, be honest, would you feel silly? I mean, I'd be standing there thinking, okay, God, you want me to talk to these dead, dry bones? I'll do it. Well, he says, prophesy. Look closely at this. And it says, again, verse 4, he, God, sent unto me, Ezekiel, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, Ezekiel writes this, and he describes it in pretty good detail. He says, here I am, all these dead, dry bones. And the Lord begins to speak to me, and he says, son of man, you speak to the bones. And here is what you're to say. And he says, so, I said it, and after I said it, I stood there and I watched, and all of a sudden, all these bones started going, and reconnecting. And as I stand there and I'm watching this, all of a sudden I'm seeing the muscles and the sinews and the organs forming in the body. And then flesh begins to cover it. But the thing is, they were just laying there. I mean, now I went from bones all over the place to bodies. And then God comes and He says to me, speak life into them. And so I spoke, breath, come to them. And breath came into them and they stood up and they were alive. Now, have you ever thought about saying something like, oh, dry bank account. Hear the word of the Lord. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Have you ever conceived of anything like that? No, Brother Martin, that just sounds too weird. I rest my case. After what we see in the Word of God about these things, why in the world should we consider it strange concerning the fiery trial that we're living in? God has given to us a way to change the circumstances. So why do we not do it? It's because we're not convinced it'll work. We're not convinced that just speaking what we see in the Bible is going to make any difference in our lives. So we go to all the prayer lines and we call the hotlines and we make our pledges to get our prayers answered. Anyway, God only speaks His will, and we have an example here, and this speaking of what God has said, it's Scripture and specific words that the Lord has given you. It's Scripture and specific words. Remember we talked about how that word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, and so forth, somebody gives you, it comes from the same source as Scripture. It's no difference. The genuine stuff now, okay? I mean, you know, you have to walk in sensitivity. The genuine stuff. It comes from the same source as Scripture. It'll never be Scripture, but it comes from the same source. Now, let's just imagine that God has said something to you like, start a Bible college. Don't charge tuition. Make sure the books are available at no cost. Tape the classes. Make the tapes available at no cost. Don't put pressure on people for money. Leave it in my hands, and everything's going to work out. What if God had said something like that to you? And what if He had also said, and when other people come to you, you're to make this same format available to them at no charge, and you are to help them to get their Bible colleges started? What if He had said something like that to you? What would you do? Quite frankly, Brother Martin, I don't have a clue. I can tell you what you would do. You've received a word from the Lord. Now, it's not in the Bible. I can't find any, thus saith the Lord to Jim Martin. I can't find that in here. But He said it to me nonetheless. So now I have a word from God. It's my responsibility, since I received it from Him and it's His will, it's my responsibility then to speak that and begin to confess that. Because I know if I do, a Bible college will come into existence where there was none before. And here we are. Because it was God's will. God spoke His will to me. Well, it was God's will. Why didn't you just do it? He did. But He did it through people. See? He did it through people. And the same thing is true for you. What if you know that God has called you to start a church? Then one of the things that you could say, kind of along the Ezekiel thing, or speaking to the sycamine or the mountain, whatever it would be, God has called me to start a church, therefore, I say my church has started. I know God's timing for this church. I know God's will to start this church. I say that I have everything necessary. Whatever buildings are necessary and property, finances, all these. You know, I say I have these things now. And I worship You, Father, and I thank You for supplying all of my need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I just call this a completed work. I just say this is done. Do you see what I'm saying? God's given you a word. You can't find it black and white in Scripture, but He's given you a word. He's given you direction for your life. That is a word from God to you. You begin to speak that, just like they did in the Old Testament, just like they did in the New Testament. You begin to speak that forth because it's His will. And as you continue to speak it and confess it, then what happens is, it begins to, the bones begin to come together, and the sinew begins to form on it, and the flesh begins to cover it, and the breath of life begins to come into it, and what God has told you to do begins to manifest before your very eyes. But what happens is, and I've encountered this, Christians who know what God has told them to do, and they're doing nothing about it. They're sitting back, and they're waiting for God to bring it about. God's in heaven, sitting there, waiting for you to begin to speak it in the earth. Remember, thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth, or done in earth as it is in heaven. He's waiting for you to begin to speak His will in the earth. And guys, I'm telling you, when you begin to do this, I'm not trying to mislead you to make you think it will happen overnight, or over week, or over month, or over year. You may have to speak this, continue to speak this. But if you've gotten the word from God and you continue to speak it, one of the things that will happen is He's going to begin to give you more and more direction about it. You'll come to more and more understanding about the different components of what that is He's called you to do. You keep prophesying it. You keep speaking it. You keep confessing it. Even if nobody else stands in agreement with you. I mean, for what we don't see anybody else in this valley with Ezekiel. But Ezekiel, he's the only one out there speaking it. But it happened. By the same token, you keep speaking these things. You keep prophesying God's will into your life. And eventually you're going to begin to see the thing manifest. It's going to begin to happen. You don't get worried about the timing. You don't try to force it. You just keep speaking it. You just keep confessing it. You keep doing what you know to do to grow and mature spiritually. And it's going to happen. Eventually, it's going to happen, but the worst thing you can do is sit back and do nothing and wait for God to like jump out of the clouds, you know, on a big white horse and come riding to your rescue to you know, instantly change everything. Won't happen. You begin to prophesy it. You begin to prophesy. You begin to speak it. And you begin to see the change. We are to speak, now listen closely to this, not only God's Word, but His will. You say, well, it's the same thing. Well, it is, but let me explain. Confessing the Word does not always mean a word-for-word quotation. Now, look in Matthew chapter 4. You see this. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is in the wilderness. He's having this encounter with the devil. Now, look what it says in Matthew 4, verse 4. But He, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now that's what Jesus said here, correct? Now turn back over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Keep your finger here in Matthew. Turn back over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And look at verse 3. And He humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now do you see the difference in this? So Jesus did not quote what we have here, you know, word for word. He didn't quote it word for word, but He quoted, or no, He spoke God's will. So even though the words weren't in the exact same progression, and even though He didn't say all the words, He still spoke God's will concerning how man is supposed to live. Now look at another example. Back over in Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, the devil, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and look at verse 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, Him shalt thou serve, and to Him shalt thou cleave and swear by His name. Now turn over to Joshua 24. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the God, the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, and put away the strange gods, and Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, there are other passages that we could kind of look at, but can you see how that back over in Matthew, Jesus did not quote word for word what's in Scripture, what we see written. But what He did speak was the will of God. He spoke what God spoke, even though the words weren't exactly the same, He still spoke what God spoke. Now, if we were only to speak word for word, in other words, our faith confessions, if they had to be the exact words from the Bible, then what would that mean? Does that mean the King James? And if it meant Greek and Hebrew, I don't think any of us would stand a chance. I mean, that's it. It's over. If it has to be Greek and Hebrew, then we're left out. And what about people in other countries? What do they speak? I mean, a person in China, all they know is Chinese. All they have is a Chinese Bible. Do you understand that the Chinese Bible is not written in King James? It's written in Chinese James, okay? Chang James or whatever, I don't know. It's written in Chinese, all right? In France, it's written in Le James. It's written in French. You understand what I'm saying? So for us to think that it has to be King James is wrong. What it has to be is what God has said. In other words, the message that God has said, what He has spoken to us. His word is His will, and it's supposed to be the foundation for our speech. Now look over in Luke chapter 6. Verse 45. It says, A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now when it comes to us speaking the word and the will of God, if it's not in you, it's not going to come out. Now it's amazing how a lot of people become very sensitive to this every Sunday morning. And they're really good at speaking. I mean, it's I've ministered to people before, and they come up, you know, for prayer. And honestly, I couldn't even give you names. I just remember, you know, circumstances. And they'll come up for prayer, and they'll say, well, you know, would you pray for me? Because, and then they start talking about all this stuff. And then it's like suddenly they catch themselves what they're saying. Oh, well, I know what you mean. You just sat there, you just stood there and you told me what you mean. You told me what's in you. You're convinced that all this bad stuff has control of your life. That's what you're speaking as we stand here. What you're wanting me to do is pray for you, and you're wanting me to use my authority to overpower what you think is controlling your life and bump this stuff out of your life so that you can walk away from the prayer line and everything's going to be changed. Well, believe it or not, that could happen. But more often than not, it doesn't. Because if you come up believing this stuff is controlling your life, my prayer is not going to change that. You're going to walk away believing this stuff's controlling your life.
Well, he ain't got nothing.
No, excuse me. You know that, do you? And then you go tell everybody about how the pastor can't do anything, the evangelist can't do anything, and how all these bad things are still going on in your life. Well, what do you expect? It's like, you know, you buddied up with the devil, and arm in arm, you guys are talking about everything that he wants to accomplish in your life. If you don't want these things in your life, speak to them. Speak to the dry bones in your life. Ooh, that'd make for a neat sermon title, wouldn't it? Speak to the dry bones. Anyhow, if it's not happening, speak to it. And don't quit. In Luke chapter 6:45, he says, Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now look over in Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. Verse 30. The mouth of the righteous righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Now remember we talked earlier about how that when you speak God's word and you speak his will, it's like you are pronouncing God's judgment over your circumstances. Well, he's saying, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom. Well, what kind of wisdom? Well, wisdom that comes from the mind of Christ, the will of God. The mouth of the righteous. So when you stand up and you begin to speak, see, you've got to understand that the devil loves it when you start speaking everything that lines up with what he wants done in your life. Because it's like it just gives him the right to come in and mess things up. But when you begin to speak God's word, God's will into your life, then it's almost like, you know, Star Trek, you know, shields up. It's like, man, shields are going up. You see what I'm saying? And it talks about over there the shield of faith quenching the fiery darts. Well, when you begin to speak these words of faith, it's God's will and God's word, it's like you're building a type of shield. All right, let's look over in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10, verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Now, he said, in the abundance of the heart, or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Now, the more that we begin to get into the Word of God and understand His Word and His will, then what we begin to speak lines up with His Word. What I'm not saying is, everywhere you go, you're quoting Scripture. Waitress comes to your table. You know, what would you like to drink? And you start quoting Scripture. The river of life flowing from the throne. You don't. That's not what I'm talking about. All right? I mean, because there are people that get way off on tangents on this stuff, folks. They get really weird on it. But it's like when you're speaking about things, what you're doing is you're speaking what lines up with the Word of God. Now, if you've got $80 of bills and $5 in the bank account, you don't write checks and then say, in the name of Jesus, I call these checks non-rubber. Or I don't know. That's not what I'm saying, okay? You don't do that. That's not faith. That's goof. That's not wisdom. But what you do is you look at your circumstances and you understand that you've got a responsibility to pay your bills. You've given your word you'd pay your bills. And so you begin to speak God's word and His will over your financial circumstances. Yeah, but Brother Martin, I just don't know how he's going to do it. And you've got to figure it out so you can tell him so that he can make your confession work, right? No, you begin to confess His word and His will. And you know what? He might drop into your heart a plan to get out of this mess. He might send somebody by your front door with all the money you need to get out of the mess. I don't know, but I do know this. His word works because it's His will. And the money thing, He's not going to bless stupidity. If you confess the word and you get out of your situation and then you dig yourself another hole with more credit cards or whatever, trust me, there's going to come a point God's going to say, this ain't happening. You are messed up and you need more help than what you're willing to receive from me. So I'm not going to keep bailing you out so you can keep digging this hole. You're going to have to utilize some wisdom here. But God's word works. God's word never fails. In Proverbs 10:32, again, look at this. He says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. When you speak in opposite or in opposition to the word of God, it's almost as though you're speaking wickedness. Because when God has declared His word and His will over your life, but you turn around and you start speaking the opposite, He can't bless that. And He can't get involved with that. In Proverbs 18, verse 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we could maybe kind of variation on this theme. Death and life are in the abundance of what you've put in your heart. And out of that abundance, your lips will speak death or life, and you're going to eat the fruit of it. So listen, you know, you can get into legalism over this. But when you really get into the Word of God and see what God's Word has to say, It doesn't become legalism. It just becomes what's being produced out of the abundance of your heart. Let's go ahead and take about a 5-minute break and come back. Doing so is not living by faith. There are so many Christians out there who will say things like, the law is still in effect. And they'll tell you, you still have to live according to what you see back here in the Old Testament. No, God said He would take His nature, reflected in the Ten Commandments, and write that on your heart. It's no longer going to be written on a stone. And all the rest of that stuff, it no longer applies. And all you have to do is take the time to get into the New Testament and read it for what it says. In fact, well, we just don't have time to get into all of that. That priesthood has come to an end. That way of living has come to an end. But where it talks about how Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah, the Judah, quote, priesthood, which is really the priesthood of Jesus, and I just threw that in for identification purposes, and that law are now in effect. Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life. James 1:25, the perfect law of liberty. We cannot live by faith if we do not live by that system. That's why it's so important for us to get into the Word, because the more we get into the Word, the more we understand what it's like to live as a Christian within the structure of Jesus being our high priest and what that means to have Him as a high priest. The Lord just ministered something to me here a little bit. I don't exactly remember the moment that it happened. But it had to do with the priesthood of Jesus, understanding the priesthood and what that means. What is the priesthood of Jesus? What does it mean to us as the body of Christ? He said, boy, you know, if you could get Christians to understand the type and the shadow of what the priesthood meant back under the Old Testament, and then you amplify that to what the priesthood of Jesus, because it's changed. The priesthood has changed. He said, but if you can understand this, and then you begin to understand what it means to have Jesus Christ as your high priest, then you're going to begin to understand. See, the whole nation of Israel rested on the actions of the high priest when he went in there once a year. The whole nation rested upon the actions of that one man when he went in there every year. We as the body of Christ rest on the actions of our high priest, Jesus Christ, and what He has done for us. But if we don't understand that, we try to supersede what He has done, creating our own little priesthood and our own set of rules and regulations to live according to that. It doesn't work. It's all based upon what He has done for us, see? And in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, when you go through and you read this, you're going to find out that the promises, God's promises, are manifested in our lives as we operate according to what He has established, and we can't obtain the manifestation of all the promises contained in this better covenant, as it talks about, if we don't live according to the principles of that better covenant. And those are explained to us when you just start in Matthew and go on through. You'll begin to see those principles outlined in there. The primary principle is that we live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And in Hebrews chapter 9, it talks about how that the things in the Old Testament were shadows of what God really wanted. The offerings, gifts, and all these things, they weren't so much about blessings the way that we're talked about, but they were about a temporary atonement for man's sins. They broke the law. And they existed until the time of Reformation. The time of Reformation is the whole change of things. How that God formed the way that man was to relate to Him under the law, but it was reformed through Jesus. And so now there's a whole different way of relating to God, and it's based upon what Jesus has done for us. Living by faith requires us to come to certain understandings, of which are, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to have a new priesthood and a new law? Understanding God's incapability to lie. The eternal, unchangeable nature of His Word, that God is not human and He operates according to absolute, pure, holy perfection and love. And grasping these things alone will change our lives. When we come to understand just these 5 points right here, it's going to change our lives and get us to the point of understanding that we have a perfect God who has given us a perfect word, can't fail. When we begin to live according to that, then we begin to see what He has said manifest in our lives. Father, we want to thank You for Your word. We want to thank You for what we've learned here tonight. We want to thank You, Father, that what it really means to live by faith is so different from a lot of things that we've heard. But we say that our lives are going to be changed by the power of Your Word, and that, Father, we're going to live by faith, truly live by faith, according to what You say living by faith is all about. As we leave here tonight, Father, we thank you again for your presence. We thank you for your love. And we do ask for and receive by faith divine protection. We love you and we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.